Welcome back to Surprise Round, everybody. Don't be too surprised. We already did it, okay? All right? You shouldn't be that surprised.
I'm shivering, Murph. Put me in a sleeping bag.
Holy shit, look out. It's Crash Bandicoot.
Put me in a sleeping bag.
Watch out, it's Crash Bandicoot. And you made the deal.
No.
So you had to live with that.
Crash Bandicoot, my God.
Yeah.
My God, my teacher.
Emily always
finally,
just,
he's come for me.
She just gives herself to these questions.
I'll go supine and say, whoa.
Okay. I do kind of give myself to these questions.
You really do. No, it's nice. It shows, yeah, you're a very giving spirit because you're like, if it could help the world in any way, I'll take on Crash Bandicoot.
It's also, I don't know, all of these questions just like invoke some sort of magic within our mundane life.
And
it's nice to embrace it.
I think also I studied religion undergrad, so I'm like, ah, yes, the mythical bargain.
I think the problem is because I was so scared as a kid of Chucky that I would stay up all night waiting for Chucky to come kill me. The idea of that being sort of real and it just being a cartoon, like a mascot comes and kicks your ass is my greatest fear realized.
Do you know the thing that kept me up at night when I was a kid was I had a poster of ballerinas and at night they moved.
The posters actually did?
No, I think my imagination made it move.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember sitting there watching it move and I would be frozen in terror being like, how are the ballerinas moving?
Yeah.
I didn't even do dance. Why was there a ballerina poster?
It seems like that poster shouldn't have been that important.
I'm going to confront my mom.
All right. I've got one that's actually pretty similar to the Crash Bandicoot one. So let me kick this one off and then we'll throw to some user submitted ones.
Great.
All right, ready?
Great.
Hot.
You are at...
Sorry.
Fine, I'll leave my wife for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Jeez, okay, that was quick.
Wait,
yeah, Emily's got a question already raising your hand.
Can you put an uncle in there?
Can I throw an uncle there? Yeah, as long as it's not going to affect the question too much, because I feel like last time we got lost in the tank a bit talking about the uncles. I know that was a phrase saved for, what was that, Turtle Tank?
I think we're...
But that's, I mean, that's why people tune into Uncle Edition.
Yeah.
They want the uncles
just a
there.
Harmless uncle in there.
Okay, yeah, you got it.
We're adults. People have to trust us to not be distracted by every flashy uncle.
We're trying to be relatable. People have uncles, Murph.
True. All right. I'm probably going to tell you guys to cool it on the uncle stuff if you incorporated too much in your answers. So just like beware.
We're adults.
Okay. We're all adults. We're all adults here. All right. Is everybody ready? I'm going to read it.
We are mature.
Yeah. You are at WWE Raw in the front row with your uncle.
Your uncle.
All of your dreams realized.
Whoa.
Right before the matches start, a producer comes out and says, hey, are you cool to be part of the show?
I look to my uncle for approval.
He nods. He says, he looks really excited.
For advice.
He looks excited for you.
Uncle John, you've always guided me.
He nods excitedly.
You are my teacher, my mentor.
The producer continues. The Undertaker is coming back and is going to be screwed by Randy Orton. We wanted to show that he's super pissed off by having him pull a fan over the railing and giving them a tombstone pile driver.
Awesome.
You agree instantly. But 5 minutes before showtime, that same producer comes up to you in a rush and says, hey, the Undertaker is really nervous about this looking realistic, so he's just going to kick your ass for real. Before you can ask any follow-up questions, the producer leaves. The Undertaker's music hits. You are in a sort of standing room only where there are other people around. Do you move back or do you stay where you were?
This is easy. My uncle is there. So
let's not focus so much on the uncle.
I look to him. It's like when you're on a plane
shrugs.
To see if the flight attendant looks
safe. Your uncle shrugs. Your uncle goes, I don't know about that.
I wouldn't back up because there's the risk that the Undertaker hits my uncle.
Okay, so the
scenario.
You're not taking anything for your uncle. I know we want to protect our uncles, but let's just take them out.
What wrestler is this? Uncle Taker?
If it was the Uncle Taker, then you need to be
scared.
He's called
the Uncle Taker.
He's
going to
take
the
uncles. I know what you're saying.
Would you deny the Uncle Taker a fresh uncle?
I was under the impression that we're all adults here and we weren't going to focus on the uncles too much.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to go back. I'm going to say your uncle is not there.
Oh, your uncle's in the bathroom.
What happened to him?
Your uncle went to the bathroom. Okay.
Did the Uncle Taker take
your uncle? Your uncle's in the bathroom doing all of this.
Oh.
Your uncle says, I'm scared of the Undertaker. I'm going to wait. I'm going to go get us some popcorn and goes and waits in the popcorn.
Thanks,
line.
Rick. That's nice of you.
Yeah. Okay. Uncle Rick is getting us popcorn. Uh-huh. This is all your choice. The only thing that you know is that the producer says,
the Undertaker is going to kick your ass for real because he's afraid it's not going to look
this
real.
This is a social pressure situation where, like, if I'm front row, there's a bunch of other fans front row that are super hyped. They're holding up their signs. They're really jazzed. If they see me say yes and then back away, like, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with the shame.
I'm banking on the fact that the Undertaker is a professional and this producer is kind of not.
That's interesting, maybe the producer is
being bad at communicating to me what the Undertaker is going to do.
But the producer does say the really Undertaker is really nervous about making this look realistic.
I think I just don't buy it. I'm like, yeah, so maybe he's concerned that it won't look real, so he's going to do something other than the tombstone or something. I'm like, I'll just let the Undertaker do what he's going to do.
The tombstone's like an actual wrestling move, like a finisher. So you assume that that would be safe. But when you say he's going to kick your ass for real, that opens up anything. The Undertaker could just come out and punch you and start wailing on you. Emily has her arm raised.
I think that in this situation, I'm assuming that the producer is making a joke that lands weird. So after they say that, I laugh like I'm laughing along with a joke. And I assume that it's just a joke.
Interesting. Okay.
Because also the Undertaker kicking my ass would probably happen so fast that, like, I'm willing to let him punch me once to have that moment, like, live in immortality forever.
The quote is,
he punches
he's
me.
He's going to kick your ass for real.
He's going to punch me once, though, and then it's not going to make good TV.
You don't know how much he's going
to punch
audience,
you. If I start to actually get hurt, I trust that the audience will feel uncomfortable. And the Undertaker's too much of a performer not to...
But what if the Undertaker's supposed to be the heel in this situation? What if he's, like, just gone absolutely bananas? He's just beating the shit out of people in the arena.
I think that when I get this information from the producer, I get in my head and I'm like, I have to sell this. I need to help the Undertaker here.
That's so kind of...
I think I'm hamming it up too much. And I think the Undertaker is mad at me. And that's just going to make things even worse.
Oh, if you're hamming it up, he's got to protect the business. So he's got to hurt you for real. So you stop hamming it up.
Please, no, Mr. Undertaker. Oh, ouch.
He just punches you in the gut.
It'd be really funny to see the moment where he lands a punch so hard that you can't be campy anymore and you just drop the act and get so solemn.
Your fight or flight takes it.
So that is a thing in wrestling.
Uncle Rick, it hurt.
That is a thing in wrestling, right?
Someone there are like my Uncle Rick, he's in the bathroom.
we bring it back to the uncles. There are, like, wrestlers do want to, like, quote unquote, protect the business. So they do want to make it, like, look real.
Yeah.
So if there was somebody that was in the ring and was kind of being like, haha, you're hitting me in, like, a fake way, a lot of wrestlers would then punch you.
Oh, no, I want to clarify. Like, I'm trying to sell it, but I'm just doing a bad job of selling it. So I'm just like, ooh, ouchie, wow, that was a big hit.
I think that I'm, like, I feel like whenever I see, like, a live show, since we are, like, performers, I always surrender to support of the live show. Like, whenever I'm in, like, a tour, I laugh at all the jokes.
I
try to answer the questions that they ask. I try to be, like, front of the row, grade A student. So I think in this situation, if they came up to me and they were like, will you do this? I would be like, he's going to kick the shit out of me. I don't think that I'm the right person for this. But if I say yes and then they amend it, like in this hypothetical, I think I surrender. I think I just am like, these are professionals.
The producer scurries off before I can respond.
Yeah.
I should be able to grab them and be like, hey, I didn't agree to that.
That's what the question is. Yeah. They get away before you can grab them.
Is there any chance? So, is there any chance that I could actually beat him up?
No.
I stick around, and as the Undertaker approaches me, I just kind of whisper, like, I only agreed to a tombstone.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, try to hit him. You try to hit the Undertaker with a doesn't work for me, brother.
You try to whisper to the Undertaker in the middle.
Time out. I'm going to be demanding a free subscription to Peacock after this.
Don't hurt me in front of my uncle, dude.
I'm so fragile.
Your uncle's getting
popcorn. I'm super fragile.
Your uncle will rest in peace.
I bring out a coffin with my uncle's name on it.
No! I am just playing devil's advocate here
because
of course
his name was Rickolas.
Of course, if this happened to me, I'd be like, I'm not a real wrestler, so it would be a good idea to kick my ass. We do have to protect the business and make this look real, so the Undertaker can wail on me. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So we're all on board.
Yeah.
I think we all surrender.
We all surrender.
Kick my ass, sir.
We don't want to ruin Raw.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So we're all for it.
In fact, it might be kind of cool.
Oh, it'd be rad.
This is one that I'm like, maybe I do it.
Yeah.
Unprompted.
There's a non-zero chance that my face becomes a meme after this because of just like and how much pain I am.
Fake pain becomes real pain.
Real man kicked by the Undertaker. Fan is kicked. All right. Why don't we go ahead with some user submitted questions?
Yeah.
Hypotheticals.
Here's one from Charles. You're on a tour at a vineyard. Wine is not typically your thing, but you're trying to be open to new experiences. The tour was great. The setting was beautiful. The guide was knowledgeable. Honestly, you're starting to think it's crazy that you haven't done this before.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's interesting.
What's been holding me back?
I've never been like a wine guy, but I've been enjoying this.
I've never been a wine guy. Okay. I've never made time in my schedule for me or wine.
But maybe I'm into it. Yeah. Hey, let's buy a bottle. Let's get this snifter.
Okay. Is he waiting for a cheese board? That could be fun.
The last stop is at the tasting room where you get to try a flight of three different wines. One white, one red, and one blue. The last one seems weird, but no one else reacts. So you assume it's normal.
I would. This is exactly how it played out.
The guide walks you through the tasting. They explain the aromatics, the mouthfeel, the tasting notes, etc. But that is only for the first two. For the last wine, the blue one, the guide leaves and a disheveled looking middle-aged man in a filthy Sonic costume walks behind the bar. This is not the real Sonic.
I love the building of the cast of characters.
It's not the real Sonic. Okay. It's clearly a man in a dirty costume.
Okay. Oh, it's dirty.
He walks over to you, and only you, no other patrons. He looks you in the eye and says one thing. Daddy needs his go-go juice and hands you your glass. No one else at the vineyard reacts at all. Do you take the drink?
I mean, this is not to be religious again, but this is communion. This
Emily!
You think this is Sonic's blood?
I whisper, you are my teacher, and take a shot of my hedgehog teacher's blood.
I'm trying to analyze this. Uh-huh. I'm on the fence right now, currently.
I feel like a year ago, everyone started talking about orange wine, and I was okay.
So blue wine. It's more the
blue
man
wine
in the Sonic costume
that,
is concerning.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe they made like a bad deal with Sega, and they're trying to promote the wine that way.
Yeah, I sniff it first.
I for sure sniff it.
Like do a little, as I'm bringing it up to my nose, I try and do it surreptitiously.
Again, yeah, it's not so much about the juice as it is about the go-go juice that the man in the Sonic costume is requesting.
It's unrelated. But I've been reading a lot of Dune recently, so I'm just like, all I can think about is the water of life that would give me the ability to see beyond my own present.
Okay.
You'd be in for a ride.
Yeah. If this can give me the gift of prescience, my mind can go fast. Yeah.
If you can survive it.
If I can survive
like
it,
this dude just like spit in some like Kool-Aid or something like that is what the vibe I'm getting.
Are we allowed to whisper, is this your backwash, sir?
I think he doesn't respond, right? Because he's just kind of a strange dude.
All he says is daddy needs his go-go juice.
So that on its face, I'm like, I do not want to take a drink from you. 100% don't want to take a drink from you. However, I will say the professionalism of the rest of the experience, the fact that it took me, not a wine guy in the scenario, and made me a theoretical wine guy in the scenario, and the fact that the other like sommelier that's walking me through everything,
has been normal.
Yeah. So the fact that he
and
walked
not even
out,
normal, actually pleasant up till this point.
Yeah.
This person walked out, and then this other Sonic came in, presumably from the same company, even though he's strange. Theoretically, this is all under the same umbrella?
Do I look around. I want to like look around and see if other people look a little jealous. Like I got chosen.
Yes.
There is no reaction from the other patrons.
They're not acting like it's strange. Yeah.
They might have never been on a wine tour either. They might think that this is normal. They could also be dumbfounded. They could just not know what to do.
I think that this vineyard tried to go on above and beyond for me. Like they did a little research on me and like,
I know you love Sonic.
They know I love Sonic and they like, they got it just a little wrong. But like, okay, we'll get the costume. We'll get the blue Sonic wine for him. He's going to love it. That's going to be so fun for him.
That is sometimes what a five-star establishment will do. They'll be like, what are you celebrating? Yada, yada.
I was just talking to someone who's like a travel writer. So they go stay at really fancy hotels and they say that there is this level. Like if you say, oh, I really like the bottle of that wine at like dinner, you'll go back to your room and there will be a bottle of that wine there.
Yeah.
Yes.
If there was a fucking Sega vineyard and I could go there and I could drink Sonic's blue wine.
But this is not the real Sonic. This is
a man
in a disheveled costume.
This is the closest I'm going
to
get.
Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but there is no real Sonic.
I could buy a clean Sonic.
I hate to fucking break it.
I could buy a clean Sonic
real
costume.
So Merv thinks that Sonic is real. God. And that's his issue.
These theoretical Sonic can be real because Crash Bandicoot is real in these theoreticals.
I'm raising my hand. Did you think Sonic was real, man?
I didn't call on you. Emily, yeah?
Are you disappointed that Sonic isn't real?
In these theoreticals, anything can be real. Jake, you have your hand up.
Is Tails real? We know Sonic is not.
Oh, because Tails could do the orange one. That'd be perfect.
If Sonic is not real, then Tails is not real, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm drinking the jizz. I don't know what you want me to say.
I think I make the sign of the cross and I take the sacrament.
I think I could just hit him with a really reverent, like, thank you, and not drink it, but like seem like I appreciate it enough that he doesn't watch me.
There's always like a good trick for when someone buys you a shot that you don't want is you throw it over your shoulder.
Mm.
So you could always do that.
But Sonic, a full glass of blue wine.
To get rid of it, you could drop it. You could fumble it by accident.
Yeah, you could do that.
Oh my God, make a big deal. Like, I'm so excited. I'm shaking. I'm shaking.
Oh, but then you get to see how they refill it. Like, you get to see where it comes from.
Yeah.
I think I'm not cool with the Sonic Man saying, Daddy needs his go-go juice to me. So he, I think, is like, I'm like, this is points against it. Now I'm completely in follower mode where I'm like, are other people drinking this? Can we confirm that this is not?
We don't know. You're the first one.
I'm the first one.
Oh, they're probably all looking to you. Yeah.
Then maybe, okay. Oh God. Okay. If I'm the first one, I think I'm sniffing it and I'm taking the teeniest sip because if it's fucking Windex or something, if I just take
I do sniff it to make sure it's not Windex. Yeah. I had that thought.
I think I'm sniffing, I'm doing everything, and maybe I'm taking the tiniest sip. And if I taste fucking piss or something, I'm out.
And I know what Sonic's piss tastes like, okay? You can't fucking get that past me.
There are blue alcohols. You can make gin out of a
blue curacao.
Yeah, of course.
Curacao and stuff like that. So it's not out of the question.
I mean, it could just be blue Gatorade. That's good too.
True, yeah. I was thinking it was going to
secretly be a Sonic the Hedgehog energy drink.
So when he says daddy needs his go-go juice, he's referring to me. I'm daddy in this situation,
right? He's calling you daddy.
I like that. I like that. Sonic
is gassing you up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so now that I'm daddy, actually, that kind of changes this religious ritual.
Yeah, so I think what I do is I chug it, I throw the glass on the ground, and I say, where's Tails? Bring him out.
Yeah, I say, yes, my son, and then I crush the empty cup against his forehead.
I think I sip it.
Everybody's at the very least sipping it.
Some of us are really into it. There is an exploratory sniff before it goes into my mouth to make sure it's not chemicals.
Well, that's just polite.
Yeah.
I think I'm trusting the vineyard at this point.
You can always buy time by sniffing it and then trying to say what the aroma is to your fellow wine goers.
Yeah. You can make a little joke, be like, wow, this one's really got legs. Can't wait to give it a spin.
Legs and tails, if I'm lucky.
Thank you. Oh, the polite chuckle you're going to get for that? God.
Okay. I've actually got one that, I don't know, feels kind of similar.
Can you put Sonic and an uncle in it?
No.
I think we have to choose.
No. I think this one...
My uncle is Sonic the Hedgehog.
I feel like we're going to be satisfied.
Can we put Sonic's Uncle Chuck?
I think definitely no uncles in this one. All right. Is everybody ready?
Fair.
Yeah.
You get free high-speed Wi-Fi for life that works perfectly in every location.
Oh, wow.
Yes. The catch. Whatever it is, I don't care.
The catch. Yes. Your computers are
Can I just say that's a really good question? Yeah, I didn't realize how much I want that until you just said that.
Yeah. Perfect Wi-Fi always works.
Never breaks. No outages.
No outages, no matter what. The catch, your computers are all Grinch themed, green and hairy. Whenever you boot up,
that's great. That's how I wish it looked.
Not done. Whenever you boot up your computer and every 1 hour of use after that, the computer screams at the highest volume possible, I am downloading Grinch porn. Don't look at me while I come. Okay. You can power the computer down to stop the scream before the allotted time. But keep in mind, if you power it up, it's going to do the same thing again. If part of the phrase starts, the whole phrase will continue even if you slam the laptop shut. Do you take the deal? You'd have to power up at home, travel with your laptop.
But then every hour it streams that.
Did they get Jim to record this?
Do they get what to
record? Did Mr. Carey record this?
Jim Carey plays the Grinch. Yes. The Grinch also isn't real, Murph.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Did we spoil that for you?
Yeah. Okay. The Grinch doesn't have to be real.
Murph has a lot of idols dying today. I'm so sorry.
It's just a movie, man.
All right.
It's just a movie. We're adults, Murph.
Yeah, I know. Does anyone take this goddamn computer?
And every hour is, I think that's...
Every hour is a lot.
Do I have to use this computer? Or can I have it as, say, this is my ace in the hole only when I need it?
Okay, so let's say... All right, so the original question is, all your computers are Grinch-themed, but let's say you just have one Grinch-themed... Well, no, because if you have the one laptop...
It's easier to take that deal, is what
it's
I'm
easier
saying.
To take that deal because you can just let it gather dust. So, of course, you're just going to say yes. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, if you want this perfect Wi-Fi all the time... This has to be your main laptop.
I'm just picturing us recording remote and just knowing at 59 minutes that we are all going to have to just wait for the...
I am down with the Grinch porn. Don't look at me while I come.
Yeah. I'm picturing using this computer in a European cafe.
Yeah. And as soon as it starts, you slam it closed and the speakers continue.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
I just get really good at emailing on my phone.
Well, you can't. You don't get the Wi-Fi. It's only the computers that have perfect Wi-Fi. Okay, you don't just get it.
I think I don't take this deal.
Yeah.
Make it every 3 hours and I do.
I honestly think it's a huge difference if you can slam the computer shut and stop the I am downloading Grinch porn, don't look at me while I come, and it's just... I am downloading. Okay. That goes off every hour. Yeah. You slam it shut. You open it back up. Although then when it powers back up, it kills it again.
Yeah.
It has to finish. So you go to the plane bathroom if you're on an airplane.
But it's loud. But then as
you don't want it
go.
Saying that in the bathroom. That's almost worse.
Well, you take one of those little flight blankets, open up really, really quiet.
Oh, you could do that. Yeah, you could shove it under a blanket or something like that. I'm going to say headphones. It doesn't do headphones. It goes up through your computer speakers.
It's too disruptive.
That's the big thing.
I need to be able to lose myself for a couple hours and that is just too disruptive.
Yeah, I just know myself. I'm going to be playing a video game or something. I'm going to lose track of time and it's just going to be blasting. The klaxon is going to come on.
I think this ruins my life more than Crash Bandicoot.
Really?
Yeah, because then I'm always like, oh, what time is it? I'm so aware of time that I can't lose myself.
Right,
but
you can you're right. You do have to pay attention to it while you're using the computer, but your life is fine outside of the computer.
Mm. It's at the computer's max volume, not max volume.
Correct.
Loud, but it's not crazy loud. And if I know exactly where the sound is coming from, I could theoretically stop it a little
bit. Oh, that's interesting.
I think I mostly use my computer by myself. And half of the time, I'm actually downloading Grinch porn. So it's not even fun.
So it would just be announcing what I'm doing already.
Yeah, which is fair.
I guess if I could build a Grinch shed in the back of my house or something like that. And maybe that's Grinch themed too, because the fur is honestly going to be really good for sound dampening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And...
That really is not going to help your case when you say
I'm downloading Grinch porn.
When you say, "Oh no, I'm not actually downloading Grinch porn." Mm-hmm.
It's true. Maybe you just lean into it. Maybe if you download the Grinch porn, maybe it starts shouting a little less loudly.
That's interesting. Oh, that's really interesting. Repressed, and if you face the thing that causes you disgust and disdain,
it wants to
actually discover it's a part of yourself that you've been neglecting.
I'm concerned that it's convincing me to download Grinch porn. That's I'm getting closer and closer to fine, I'm doing it.
Maybe you guys all did turn real quick. Okay. I think you guys were convinced a little too fast.
Yeah, maybe the Grinch is nutting into the Cat in the Hat.
What?
And you're watching it and the computer's about to go off and he's just like, "Whoa, I'm downloading. Wait, hold on, what's this?" Okay, interesting. All right, let's watch. Yeah. And then maybe this AI that's running your computer, overcome it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you take it on as a puzzle that you think you can solve. I think I don't do it. I think it's too disruptive.
I also think it's too disrupting to my life. Although Jake came up with like a kind of interesting thing where he's talking about it's coming out of the computer speaker, so you can dampen them. You could probably figure out a way to just, you just break your speakers.
Yeah.
Although I think that might be cheating. That kind of goes against the spirit.
Yeah, no,
it goes against the spirit.
The dampening thing is fine. However, I think it's even too disruptive to my life to have to think every hour about dampening the speaker.
Yeah, Wi-Fi just isn't worth it.
I want to be on the plane losing myself in a project and then not having to think like, I don't want to be setting a timer to disrupt me.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah. I'm also out.
So Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot can beat me up, but I'm not taking this Grinch computer. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to try and win this one, I think.
Okay. Caldwell's just leaning in.
I take it.
Really?
Whoa.
I think I take it and I try to muffle the speakers.
Every hour.
I guess I don't really know why I need Wi-Fi that bad.
Every hour.
Is there? That's what I was just wondering.
You only need.
I don't really need it that bad.
You need it in public, which is like the exact time when you don't want a computer screaming, I'm downloading Grinch porn.
Is there a way to monetize the fact that you have
wireless? No.
Can you do a hotspot?
No.
Can you do a Grinch spot?
No, it's just your one computer.
Okay. You can make a hotspot, but it does the same thing to their computer or phone.
I do think that, yes.
You know what? I think I'm actually out. It's not worth it.
Because, you do need, the reason you need Wi-Fi is because, you're probably, out in public or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Outside of the question, I think a Grinch-themed computer would be very fun.
Yeah, just like a hairy computer.
Yeah. It's, making me feel like almost like a 70s car interior or something.
Oh, yeah. A Shaq computer.
Yeah.
I think outside of the question, we're really on to something here.
Yeah. All right.
I'm writing down Shaq computer. We're going
to start selling Shaq computers.
Yeah. There's also something to Wi-Fi everywhere. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can we market that?
We should fix the roads.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. Public transportation is a really interesting thing that people want.
All right. I love that. Jake, you got any user submitted ones?
Yes. Yes, I do. I have one from Alec P. You are hosting a summer party for a large group of people.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
On the invitation, you specifically mentioned that there will be a watermelon eating contest with a cash prize for the winner.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Several of your coworkers have expressed excitement for the competition, and it's been the talk of the office for weeks.
Oh my God, okay, actually I'm feeling kind of excited right now.
Wow. Yeah, everybody is amped for this party, including you. However, when you go to buy the melons, you find that every single one of them is covered with a thick layer of mossy green hair. The hair.
Oh no.
The hair appears to be growing out of the watermelon rind. It's slightly damp to the touch, but it has no odor. You ask an employee what the deal is with these melons, and they respond, "Oh yeah, it's like promoting the Grinch or something."
The Grinch Christmas in July, it's finally coming out?
Grinch eggs.
You are assured by your uncle that the inside is a completely normal watermelon, but that they're slightly harder to cut through, quote, because of all of the Grinch hair. Oh. As far as you know, there are no upcoming Grinch movies, and it's currently the middle of the summer. Go to several more grocery stores, but find the same thing at each.
All Grinch watermelons.
Do you purchase the hairy Grinch melons?
No.
Or disappoint your party guests by canceling the big watermelon eating contest?
I disappoint my party guests.
I think I do an email or text blast. I think I do a text blast and I send pictures. I'm like, has anyone been to grocery stores recently? They're promoting the Grinch? ? I cracked open one of these bad boys and it is in fact a regular watermelon. Are you guys cool? Is everyone cool and consenting to me buying Grinch watermelons for me to have at the party?
Went to Lassen's, went to Ralph's, went to Vaughn's. Yeah. All have green watermelons.
Check it out. Check out the Grinch watermelons. Check out the Grinch watermelons here at Vaughn's.
I don't tell anybody anything.
Get back to me. I'm standing at the grocery store.
You're feeding them Grinch watermelons?
I take the watermelon home. I'm shaving it. I'm filling up a huge bowl with just the red part of the watermelon. And I'm like, whoever can eat the most of this melon.
I feel like you have to
green
disclose.
Grinch hair.
You gotta disclose the Grinch watermelon.
Anything that you eat that was at one point covered in Grinch hair, you have to disclose.
Because you find one you green hair and then you gotta live with that.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Then I say, okay, guys, new contest. I got these weird Grinch watermelons. Whoever's willing to take a bite gets the cash.
Oh, you know what you could do is, you know, like that camp game where you try to shave a balloon?
Sure.
That becomes the game. It's like, oh, who can shave my Grinch?
Oh, egg. Shaved the Grinch melons.
Uh-oh, the Grinch came by and he laid a bunch of disgusting eggs.
True, because I feel like the coworkers are more excited about a prize for cash than they are about eating Max watermelon.
If this scenario is really that the employees are kind of blasé, they're just like, yeah, it's promoting the Grinch or something. I don't know.
That's really
that suggests to me that society as a whole is pretty blasé about Grinch products. So I think I just run it by everybody. I think, you know, you just do the old text blast and you say, the watermelons are weird. This is opt-in. You can opt into a Grinch watermelon eating contest.
I can be like, I also have 15 1,000-piece puzzles at home. We could do a 1,000-piece puzzle completing contest for cash.
I think it
will be the quietest party ever.
I kick off the party by like cracking open a Grinch melon and I eat it. And I'm like, see, I think this is safe. I think the Grinch isn't going to risk.
I feel fine
right now. I had some Grinch melon for breakfast, and I'm still feeling fine.
If I'm your coworker, I definitely don't do the contest anymore.
Really?
I'm really grossed out by the hairs.
I think if
I mean, you could think of it as like a large kiwi. There are lots of fruits that have hairs on them, but it's the Grinch hair aspect. It's not the hair, it's the Grinch that's creepy.
So that's a big question.
Or even I guess it's not even the Grinch, it's the... I can't see Grinch hair without thinking about like the matted fur of a bad mascot costume.
Yeah.
And that's what would gross me out.
I think that's the thing though, is like, it doesn't seem like a far stretch that you could crossbreed a kiwi with a watermelon and get something like this.
If they gave me that explanation, I'd be down with it. Right now, I'm picturing like the nasty longest, texture of a bad mascot costume.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Are there any promotional pictures up at the grocery store of the Grinch being like, give me back my eggs?
No, it's just this employee's word. That's all you can
do. The wording apparently was just that the employee's like, I guess they're promoting.
I definitely Google like Grinch watermelon eggs.
But you don't have any Wi-Fi in this store.
Yeah, true.
Oh,
you don't have your Grinch computer.
I open up my Grinch computer.
And it screams, you get kicked out.
I don't get to buy the watermelons. Yeah. And then I, in fear, cancel the party.
So I think we're informing the party. We're still having the watermelon eating contest with the Grinch melons. I think the big question, because I don't want to let people down. I just want to let them know what they're getting.
Yeah.
The real question is something Emily brought up, which is, if you're one of the coworkers, are you still competing in the watermelon eating contest if you know they're Grinch melons?
I think like you got to do a pivot, Murph. I think you're absolutely right. You got to send the text blast. Mm-hmm. If it's like me and my friends... If it's like my coworkers, which I would include y'all in, like we're all getting hyped for these Grinch melons.
I think I need the Grinch melon.
Maybe the pivot is like we buy some broadswords and then we just like go ham on these Grinch
melons.
But
I think it's the rind, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm not going to eat the rind anyway.
Yeah, as long as the melon inside is still melon, I think I can.
You
got to
cut up the melon.
I just need to see if that fur is like kiwi hair or if it is like...
I think it's a little longer because
I just chop
it
in half. I get a bunch of melon ballers and I'm just like, all right, this is what we're doing. We're scooping Grinch.
This is like my favorite genre of fiction though, which is just like a Reddit thread about Grinch eggs, about Grinch melons that like nobody can explain. It's just like,
all right. Why don't we go ahead and do another user submitted surprise round?
Okay. I got one actually, and I can very seamlessly add an uncle into it.
Oh, good. Thank you. I did notice that you added an uncle in the last one.
Jay, can you add an uncle and an aunt?
And yet
to this
you guys
one?
Didn't focus on it, but in mind, you really need to shove uncles in there, don't
it
you?
Was so seamless the it way was Jake so did seamless. It. It was so seamless.
I just want this uncle to be happily married.
Yeah, I can add an aunt. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank sure. you.
This one's from DMC Doc. Shout out.
Hey!
On your 38th birthday, you receive a mysterious package on your doorstep.
Oh.
The return address is from a distant relative, your aunt and uncle, who you haven't spoken to in many years.
Weird.
Okay. Whoa.
Assuming it's a birthday present, you open the package. And inside, you find a handwritten note and one of the Chaos Emeralds of Sonic the Hedgehog. The note is scrawled in messy, hurried handwriting, and it reads...
We have such stupid lore from this podcast. We have talked about Sonic and all this dumb shit so much.
Also, just messy, hurried handwriting is such a funny specific.
Okay. Messy, hurried handwriting reads, keep it safe. Don't let him get them all. Finding this strange, you close the door. But moments later, Sonic shows up, pounding wildly.
Oh my
God. He's frantic. Asking for the emerald. He tells you your relatives, aunt and uncle, told him that they sent it to you for safekeeping. Sonic warns that it cannot fall into the hands of Dr. Ivo Robotnik and offers to take it from you because he can keep it safe.
Was the letter referring to Dr. Kintober, or was it referring to Sonic?
Exactly. Do you give it to Sonic, or is he the one your relatives were warning you about?
I fucking don't trust Sonic. Whoa. As far as I can throw
but
him.
But why haven't we talked to our uncle and aunt forever? Maybe they are Robotnik.
Because...
Maybe they're sided with Robotnik.
Maybe this says more about me, but I trust Sonic more than my aunt and uncle.
I do trust Sonic to a certain extent, although who knows? Maybe it's just a mimic or something, right?
Oh, shit.
I'm so... poisoned by our podcast and our podcast portrayal of Sonic the Hedgehog, that I fully, because it's not, if it was Dr. Robotnik, I would, or is it Robotnik or Kintober?
Yeah. Robotnik. Kintober is his real name that we've learned through the deep lore.
Oh my God. I need to.
Avi Kintober, which is Robotnik backwards.
I think because of the lore we've created around Sonic the Hedgehog, I have a deep distrust of him.
Yeah.
So true. I open up the blinds. I see Sonic banging on my door. I'm leaving out the back. I'm hopping the fence. I'm hot wiring my neighbor's car and I'm speeding out of their driveway.
Well, that's the thing. He's the fastest thing alive.
You can't outrun him.
The problem.
He can run as fast as a Yaris.
Easily.
Yes. Yes. No. So the problem I'm having is that like, once Sonic shows up, I'm already fucked, right? Because if I don't give it to him, he's just going to kill me.
Right? How does he kill people?
He's just going to like speed up and then jump on my head.
There's a chance you could use the power of the Chaos Emerald to momentarily be faster and stronger than Sonic.
I guess so. Yeah, if I can power up, I'd be like, I will keep it safe.
Yeah, I think that's like your only chance.
There's nothing wrong with trying to keep the Chaos Emerald separate from each other.
Yep. It's true. Like in this situation, you are kind of Knuckles. You're protecting the Chaos Emerald.
Yeah.
And like maybe eventually you and Sonic will reach an accord, but like you've been instructed to protect this emerald and that is your sacred charge. That is your uncle and auntly charge and you must follow the guidance.
Caldwell, you're flip-flopping here.
Yeah, but if they haven't really reached out to me right up until this point where they're asking me to do them a huge, seemingly dangerous favor, I'm like, I want nothing to do with this, aunt and uncle. Sonic said he's going to keep it safe. Let's just give it to this.
Theoretically, the reason you haven't talked in a while is because they've been so busy keeping the Chaos Emerald safe.
True.
Not to mention, they didn't want to involve you in this. This is probably the last thing they wrote.
And the writing
and
was so hurried.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I am flip-flopping because like right now, I'm trying to debate like who do I trust? Do I go with blood or do I go with Sonic? Do I go with blood or do I go with the blue?
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is with the frantic writing, you got to think somebody speedy is after them, right?
True.
Because Robotnik, you can maybe hide from
it. Could be Metal Sonic. That's really
I think it's like the last thing they wrote. I think that they're no longer
before their heads got jumped.
So I think you got to invite Sonic in. You got to like test Sonic to make sure that it's really
I do think that outside of our lore of Sonic, Sonic is like pretty annoying, like in all of the cartoons and stuff. So just the idea of having to talk to and deal with Sonic. And of all of the things being real, Sonic would be very low on my list of things that I would like to be real. Okay. So I would just be like mad at my family for involving me in this. I'd be like, why the fuck am I doing this? As soon as I had a slight out to give it to somebody else that I could seemingly trust, like Sonic.
Because like, what's the worst thing that happens if the wrong person gets all of the Chaos Emeralds?
Well, they become superpowered and they destroy the world, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Sonic way?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if it's Sonic.
It's true.
We don't know because maybe Sonic wrote the Sonic the Hedgehog video games and we're only hearing his side of the story.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm recording a voice note. I'm saying, I'm like, as I'm walking to the back of the house to make my surreptitious egress, I'm recording on a voice memo, but I'm saying, I'll be right there. I'm coming. Hold on. Just got out of the shower. I'll be right there. I'm coming. I'm recording it. Then I put it to play on repeat so that he thinks I'm coming. I'm leaving out the back door. Leaving my phone.
Chaos Emerald.
And I've got like a baby's blanket with which I gently wrap up the Chaos Emerald, hop the fence, again, hotwire my neighbor's car.
Okay, so once again, Emily dedicating her life to...
Oh, no.
one of these questions.
I'm just like, I can't deal with this. I have other shit to do today.
I've got a little man.
Sonic, you want this thing so bad, you need to protect it.
I guess the only trick you have is that Sonic isn't a very good swimmer. Like, he drowns pretty easily.
Oh, he does drown pretty fast.
So you could try and drown him.
Really?
If you do need to fight Sonic, great. You should do it in the water.
Yeah, I'm hot wiring my neighbor's boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna jump, dive under the water.
I live on a houseboat for the rest of my life because I think that will prevent Sonic from getting to me.
If you like get Sonic underwater, maybe you've got like a snorkeling set or like a scuba suit or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can just like try and like lure him deeper and deeper. Like I think that's gonna be your best bet.
Okay, so the houseboat has like a baby's cradle that I put the Chaos Emerald in.
Right.
And then it has a trap door that right underneath it.
Yeah.
So that if Sonic comes in, trap door, dive in.
Yeah. So Caldwell brought up an interesting point before that maybe you could use the Chaos Emerald yourself to power up. So I will say, I am kind of upset at being involved in all of this. So as soon as I see Sonic, my instinct is to just be like, Sonic's the good guy in the story. I'm just going to give the gem to Sonic. Yeah. But I am, DMC Dog is correct. It could be that is the he that they're referring to. Yeah. So I'm nervous.
Uh-huh.
So I think I try to power myself up with the Chaos Emerald. If I'm powerful enough to possibly survive a Sonic attack, I think after I powered myself up, I have a terse, intense conversation with Sonic.
Okay.
Where I see how he reacts to me refusing to give him the Chaos Emerald. And if he doesn't want it, if it's him being like, okay, you actually are strong enough to protect it. Good.
Okay.
You'll be good in the battle against Robotnik. I'm like, great. You are the good guy. Here, take your fucking emerald. I don't care.
This is the right answer. You have to take the Knuckles approach.
Yeah.
You must walk the path of Knuckles in this occasion.
You must
this occasion.
Test the hog.
Yeah.
But doesn't, I'm all mixed up in the Knuckles lore, because isn't he a bad guy at first? Because he gets tricked by Robotnik?
He gets tricked by Robotnik, but like he wants nothing more than protect the emerald.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're powering up with the emerald.
And see, I want nothing to do with this.
You're not even trying to power up.
Nope. I'm just giving them the emerald.
It's like a Super Saiyan thing, kind of. So I would go Super Saiyan with
the
emerald.
But it would just
hopefully
be like one strand of hair would go blonde.
Yeah. I think if it works for me, I'm going to try to like have a conversation with Sonic to see if he's a good guy or not. If it doesn't work for me, then I'm like, Sonic's going to fucking follow me to the ends of the earth and murder me if I don't give this to him. So I'm probably just going to hand it over because I don't know what the fuck's going on. And Sonic is real.
Yeah. I think what I'm doing here is like Sonic comes in. I'm like, oh, of course. Come in, Sonic. Let me go get the emerald. By the way, would you like a chili dog while you wait? And I'm like, I turn on the microwave. So there's like a little noise distraction. And then I use that time to like focus on the emerald and like activate.
Try to draw all its powers,
And then that's when the battle happens.
I think I live out the rest of my days as a hermit on a houseboat with a Chaos Emerald and a baby cradle.
Yeah, you know, just similar to Caldwell wanting the little spring-loaded thing for a suit, I feel like that's also what you secretly want to do anyway.
Yeah. Could you destroy the Chaos Emerald? Like, is it a Mount Doom situation? Is there some sort of chaotic forge that you could put the Chaos Emerald into?
I mean, at this point, like, I definitely, on my way to the houseboat, or once I'm on the houseboat, I'm sending signals to like my most in the know contacts, and I'm being like, hey, what's the deal with the Chaos Emerald? Are there scientists studying it? Like, what does this mean for the natural world that this is real?
Yeah, you're on your Grinch computer just desperately Googling.
I'm Googling right now, why does Sonic not simply destroy the Chaos Emeralds?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I feel like it's got to be a situation where like the Chaos Emerald is the only thing that can destroy the Chaos Emerald.
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Although there's got to be some deep Mobius lore.
You could probably eat it if you just bit really hard.
And maybe that's how you power up with it.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right. I will do one more, and then maybe after that we'll do one more user submitted one.
Great.
Okay. So this one kind of plays into our love for the aughts. All right. Get ready for this one. You gain the power of telekinesis, but you need to be decked out in 2000s Aeropostale and get a frosted tipped haircut or you die. In public, the only thing you can wear is Aeropostale. And at home, a piece of Aeropostale merch has to be on your person. For example, you could be naked, but you must be wearing an Aeropostale puka shell necklace.
Great.
The telekinesis is only as powerful as you are physically, i.e. you cannot pick up anything that you wouldn't pick up with your actual body, and you get as tired as you would if you actually picked it up with your arms. Do you take the deal?
I'm on Aeropostale's website right now.
I bet you could get us. Well, I think it's like 2000 Aeropostale. I'm sure right now it's like a lot more muted.
For the 90% of our audience that hasn't set foot in a mall ever, describe your ideal Aeropostale outfit.
I think a lot of flannels and polos.
Yeah.
Like a rugby shirt. Cargo shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. Mm-hmm.
And maybe like a, I'm thinking to a certain extent, it's like American Eagle, just like a shirt that looks like an undershirt with like an eagle on it or something.
Yeah.
I honestly can't get into fashion, but whenever I dress kind of ugly, I have the most fun.
Yeah.
So this doesn't sound too bad for me.
It's not.
The only thing
not
I would
too
say
bad.
Is like, yeah. Could I have my hair, if I frosted my tips, could they be long frosted tips?
I think you could have long frosted tips. The tips just have to be frosted.
Okay.
I think I can make this work. If I'm at a party and someone's like, whoa, Caldwell, dig the look. I'm like, yeah, it gives me powers.
Yeah right?
Picking up a 35-pound dumbbell. Yeah. Like, I could do that with my brain, and I could do it with my hand, and it causes me some strain. Does it cause me the same amount of strain if I'm doing it with my brain?
Correct.
That's like, is it also heavy?
Exactly, yes.
Well, you can basically do it from afar.
Like, it's like the Force. It's like a Jedi or something, the way you see them like straining to like pick up something, except you're not able to pick up a car or anything
really?
Like that.
I don't think I've ever seen them strain. Everything is so light and effortless.
We're not getting into the Phantom Menace. We're not getting into the Phantom Menace.
Although, now I am just picturing Obi-Wan Kenobi wearing Aeropostale.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Honestly, the hair is not that far from it.
I do say, if you have access to the whole catalog, you could probably get like a suit from Aeropostale. I think you can.
Can I mod them? I used to make stencils and put them on t-shirts when I was
needs,
in college.
I think it does need to like look like you're out of an Aeropostale catalog.
But if it's...
Could I wear it inside out?
Yeah, I would allow that, I think.
See, like my parents never really went in for like the baggy cargos and stuff like that. So I had to like beg them to let me get like a single pair of like Abercrombie pants.
Yeah.
Oh, so I feel like I could like relive this lost moment in my childhood, and like I could fully embrace the Aeropostale lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then also I could be telekinetic. I think this is a win-win for me.
I think I also have that because it was almost forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
I just can't help but picture like an Aeropostale, which in my head looks like a Hollister, and it's just like this like dark, inviting store that I wasn't allowed to shop at.
This could be your Aeropostale.
Yeah.
I do think this is a lot easier than the Janko one we had a while back when we did this for Mixed Bag. I think the Jankos are actual. Jankos are like life ruining. Aeropostale, I do think that you could find a piece for every event that would be appropriate.
Could I cuff sleeves here and there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could cuff sleeves.
In.
Yeah.
I'm in.
See, I'm actually, so I think the reason I'm out is because I think as cool as the telekinesis is, I do think that it only being as powerful as you are physically does just make it cool, but not actually.
You'd never get locked out ever again.
That is true.
Whoa. But can't you strengthen it? I mean, if you can strengthen your muscles,
definitely.
You can strengthen your mind.
Yeah, but within reason, though.
You're hurting your first kids.
Yeah.
Strengthen your muscles to strengthen your mind.
But I'm at the library in my Aeropostale, I'm getting so ripped mentally.
But even if you get your, like, let's say you got your bench up and you were benching like 250 pounds or something like that, right? You're still like, what do I need to lift that's 250 pounds with my mind?
It would just be fun.
And also, you'd still get so tired. It would be fun. It would be very
it'd
fun.
It'd be fun. Yeah. Can you imagine just playing tennis against yourself?
Whoa.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, M's making it fun. Yeah.
You can do that with a backboard, but now you could do it on a full court.
My daughter would get a kick out of it if I'm like spinning her around with my invisible brain
that's
arms.
Fun.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Yeah.
It's too fun.
I think
fun.
It'd be convenient.
Okay.
Yeah. I could read a book while driving.
That's not what? How that
I
works.
I don't think you could.
Telekinesis, I know, is like a spell in D&D, and it's one that I never take because I think that I don't even totally understand how like awesome it can be in combat or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I would love to learn for the price of having frosted tips and wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess now that I'm thinking, I guess.
I'm thinking about frosting my tips anyway, so this actually works out perfect.
What is kind of holding me back is the idea of wearing like a big shirt that says Aeropostale like all the time, but you can get some subtle Aeropostale clothing.
Yeah.
I think you can. I mean, I would love to leaf through a 2000s Aeropostale catalog and just circle everything I love.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't want it to prevent me from like going to a friend's wedding or something, but again, I think you could probably find a blazer. So, and you guys are convincing me. I guess it would be. I was too much thinking about like the practical aspect of it because I'm like, if it's only as physically strong as you are, what do I need to really grab? But I guess if I am just like sitting in my room throwing stuff around with the Force, that is life changing in a way that is
brings so much joy.
Wait, I think that it's also like, I'm biased because I like have finally come to terms with the fact that I feel rather indifferent towards fashion. If someone liked fashion, I could imagine this being a really big sacrifice.
Yeah. I think it's less about, I think it's just such a big statement. The fact that you're like, you know, wearing the frosted tips and stuff.
Yeah, I guess the only
like
fashion
that
I have fun with is kind of ugly stuff. Mm. So. Yeah.
I always thought that Todd from Scott Pilgrim was kind of cool. And this is basically you're just living the life of Todd, except you don't have to be vegan. So that's fun.
Whoa. I don't know Todd.
He's one of Ramona's ex-boyfriends.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
All right. Well, so I think we're all in. We're all decked out in Aeropostale using the
this
force.
This is the one that I could see us going to bed tonight and waking up tomorrow and having it be true.
Okay.
Don't you guys feel like that?
All in puka shells.
Happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just like clutch it. Wait.
We should next live show, we all wear Aeropostale and just let everyone wonder if it actually came true.
I'm going to try to procure one of these old catalogs.
Yeah. We start shopping for our telekinetic looks.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and do one more? Jake, you got one more user submitted one.
Do you hear the Navpod got powers? Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they still do the podcast, but they do have powers. They float their dice on stage sometimes. It's pretty cool. They don't really do much with it.
It would be fun, though, because we're always throwing dice into the audience, and I could just slowly hover it gently into someone's hand.
Wow. Yeah, you could do that thing that like Anakin does in Attack of the Clones. Spoiler, sorry. But he like floats an apple over to Padme. Emily looks really hurt.
Yeah. I'm waiting for
quit with the fucking spoilers,
dude. It's not that big a spoiler.
Jake, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Now that you just ruined Attack of the Clones. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
It's inconsequential, Emily. You look really hurt. I'm sorry. God, she looks really hurt.
It's pretty consequential, honestly. Go ahead. Jake, take it away. Emily's leaving. We'll do this one, Emily. Just the three of us.
It's fair.
Okay, she's back.
It's not fair. This isn't fair to Jake because he didn't ruin.
True. Attack of the Clones.
Caldwell, you should leave.
Okay, I'll leave.
Okay, Callum writes, you have an ordinary 9-to-5 office job, which you love. The only catch is that it's notoriously difficult to climb the career ladder. Mm. Then luck strikes. There's an opportunity for promotion coming up, and only one of your other coworkers is even eligible. It just happens to be Sebulba.
Oh, wow. Okay, all right.
The Monday morning after receiving this news, as you walk to your car, you see Sebulba coming out of your garage.
Okay.
When confronting him, he just acts defensive and gets in his pod to race to work. But you do see him rubbing his legs together conspiratorially.
Yeah, all right, because they're his hands. Okay, beautiful. Amazing.
His hands, yeah.
You check your car over, but see nothing wrong with it. If you don't drive off now, you're going to be late for work. What do you do? There's a promotion on the line.
I love that Sebulba has entered.
Yeah, entered the cast of characters. So, Sebulba, of course, the pod racer.
Yeah.
That is right the antagonist now, of the pod racing scene.
Right now, in this moment, I'm just excited to imagine a world where Sebulba and I just interact.
Yeah, we have the Flintstones. We've got Sebulba. We've got Sonic. We've got Donkey Kong.
The Nadron multiverse is awful.
Yeah.
Right, so, it's fucking heinous. So wait, what is my relationship with Sebulba in this world? Like,
it's competitive.
Yeah.
You're the only two trying to climb the corporate ladder.
But like, do I know his full propensity for sabotage?
This is classic Sebulba stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Sebulba fucked with your car. We know this.
Yeah.
We've seen the Phantom Menace.
Okay.
We know this is not safe. Sebulba was like messing around with your car, right?
That's you what the question. You know what?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, wait. We're about to get into our car, right? I was going to say, I bike to work, but I probably don't have time.
No.
No, you're going to be late. And you are up for this promotion. And now Sebulba is going to show up on time and you're going to be late. It almost guarantees that he's getting this promotion.
I take out a throwing knife and I throw it at his engine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's got two engines of the thing. So like he could probably divert power to one of the pods.
I think my iPhone and I take, as soon as I see that snake Sebulba messing with my Toyota Corolla, I turn on the record and I record him and then I send it to the boss.
See you at the office, Murph.
Yeah, see? You think you're funny? You're on videotape, Sebulba.
I know my rights. You can't film me.
This is public property, Sebulba.
You have to blur my face.
Get out of here.
And what if your boss is like, look how bad Sebulba wants this promotion?
He's and I say, this is not the type of environment I want to be at. You're allowing Sebulba to sabotage me?
I came to wish you best of luck on the promotion at work today.
I take like a deep breath. Get into my car, whisper, Sebulba, you are my teacher.
What?
And then...
She's making it religious.
Wait, why are you... Why? Why?
Anakin's car was messed with by Sebulba, and he still won the race.
Yeah.
It was... But he was the best... He's the best pod racer in the galaxy. Yeah. You're not the best mechanic in the galaxy.
But maybe Sebulba...
Yeah, but I'm the best at driving a Toyota.
No, you
aren't.
I don't
think anybody's better than you. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I've seen Jake Parallel Park. He's like pretty... He might be force sensitive when it comes to Toyotas.
He's definitely good. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say he's not good, but I'm going to say he's not Anakin Skywalker.
Well, actually, the fact that Jake brought this up, it's like maybe it wasn't that Anakin Skywalker was so good. Maybe it's that Sebulba's actually bad at messing with cars.
Yeah,
that's true.
Does the Force exist in this world? I guess it has to, right?
I'm decked out in all Aeropostale.
Yeah, we're all in Aeropostale.
The Force exists.
Okay.
My tips are frosted.
Yeah. What's my Toyota Clorian level? It's gotta be pretty high.
I think I'm trying to catch Sebulba in the act. I'm trying to send this to my boss. If I can do this the right way, then I'm happy to do it. If my boss turns me down, then I'm just like, I'm reporting you. This isn't okay. You're treating... This is nuts.
I think Sebulba's going to like... He's going to spin
he's
it,
He's just going to kick
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
No, like if you get to the office and you're like, Sebulba sabotaged my car. Everyone's going to be like,
I have proof, crazy. I have proof.
Yeah, I think Sebulba's going to be like, no, it's AI. You doctored that.
I'm not getting caught up in this Sebulba competition. Mm-hmm. My priority is, number one, I'm getting to work.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get in the car. Yeah. If it breaks down, I'm going to sprint. I'm going to steal the car. I need to show up on time, drenched in sweat, to show my boss that I'm dead serious about this promotion.
Yeah. I think so too. That's why I'm like, you get this promotion by stooping to Sebulba's level without letting your boss know that you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a test. Does your company do things your way or Sebulba's way? You know what I mean? Like, do you really want to work for a company that's going to have Sebulba out here messing with your Corolla?
Yeah, I'd tender my resignation if Sebulba's in charge.
Exactly.
This is the cutthroat corporate world, and I'm trying to climb that ladder, and really. I will climb it. I will be stepping over Sebulba's carcass to get to the
top. I don't want Sebulba climbing that ladder because he's going to use his feet to do it, and it's going to look gross.
I guess if I don't feel like dealing with, like, I don't know, going up the corporate ladder or something to report Sebulba, I guess I go over to my car and I turn it on, and I see if any of the lights are on, and I'm like,
Toyotas are really practical like that. The check engine light will come on.
If I have the exclamation point up and he like let the air out of one of my tires, I'm not messing with that. If I see the check engine light, I'm not fucking with that. But if I can't see anything wrong, I guess I also like back out really slowly and use the brakes to make sure he didn't like cut
if
my
it's just tire pressure. I think I'm actually okay with that, as long as I'm not going to get on the highway. I'll see what the PSI is at.
What's the Sebulba murder? I guess if it is,
this would be a great situation to have telekinesis, because you could telekinetically turn on your car without being like within distance of an explosion.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You just kind of see Sebulba like scurrying out as you get to your car. So it is possible he didn't get to do whatever he wanted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually.
Right. He might have heard you coming.
Yeah.
Reveal. Okay. You get to the car, and sitting on the passenger seat is a card that says good luck.
Oh my God, Sebulba.
And your favorite candy. So and then
I still think he did something.
And it says, I know that this business world is tough. I know that climbing this ladder is tough. Let's do it together. Like, whoever gets the promotion, that's who deserves it. I support you. Other way.
you turn the key, your car explodes. Yeah.
We've all just gotten caught up in the Womp Rat race, you know, and just like, maybe we lost sight of what's important.
Yeah, which is marrying Sebulba.
Yeah. Can you imagine the footplay?
Okay, so I'm settling on, if I can't catch Sebulba in the act on video, then I'm just turning my car on and very cautiously driving to work.
I think like if I have like full knowledge of Sebulba and his wily nature, I think I can't get in that car with good faith. I think I'm going to bring back the private investigator. I think I have to be like, search for any evidence. Like, he has a very distinctive handprint because it's his foot. So like, if you can find anything, dust for prints, do whatever you need to do. We got to fucking pin this to Sebulba.
Such a good call. Yeah. If you can get prince,
yeah,
it will be really obvious.
Because like, oh, hey, that's here's the thing. Yeah. You can't be assistant manager from jail, dude.
As soon as I see Zabulba leave my garage, I'm like, oh, it's like that. I'm hauling ass, pedal to the floor. I'm running him off the road. Yeah. I'm getting to the office.
Zabulba, yeah. Oh, running him off the road.
So it's either you either fuck him over or you literally fuck him and become his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the only options.
We could just marry Zabulba. I do think that's a solve.
Yeah.
Because again, it's about the benefits. Right?
Maybe I'm standing at the car being like, what do? Do I get in? Do I not? And then I just call him. It turns on in his car. I hear the wind. And I'm just like, hey, man, why are we fighting when we could be fucking?
Because it's like, I mean, it's kind of hot that he cares so much about you, yeah, right?
True. I know.
Like, the fact that he went to this much trouble, like, it shows something.
We're thinking about each other a lot.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the enemies to lovers trope that everyone's been asking for.
All right.
Everyone's been asking for an enemies to lovers.
Easy solve. This one just has a correct answer. You just marry Zabulba.
Marry Zabulba. And your uncle can perform the ceremony.
Yeah, oh, true. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, with that, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll be back next week. Back to campaign 3.
Yeah.
We'll be back here with a campaign episode. In the meantime, you're out of the surprise condition.
I cast telekinesis.
I'm still scared!